Chapter 3. A hole was made big enough to squeeze through, and Juliet took the honours. A flashlight in hand, she crawled over a pile of rubble and between bent fingers of iron rod. The air beyond the generator room was cool, like the deep mines. She coughed into her fist, the dust from the digging tickling her throat and nose. She hopped down to the floor beyond the gaping hole.
"Careful," she told the others behind her. "The ground's not even."
Some of the unevenness was from the chunks of concrete that had fallen inside. The rest was just how the floor stood. It appeared as though it had been gouged out by the claws of a giant. Shining the light from her boots to the dim ceiling high above, she surveyed the hulking wall of machinery before her. It dwarfed the main generator. It dwarfed the oil pumps. A colossus of such proportions was never meant to be built, much less repaired. Her stomach sank. Her hopes of restoring this buried machine diminished. Raff joined her in the cool and dark, a clatter of rubble trailing him. The albino had a condition that skipped generations. His eyebrows and lashes were gossamer things, nearly invisible. His flesh was as pale as pig's milk. But when he was in the mine, the shadows that darkened the others, like soot, lent him a healthful complexion. Juliet could see why he had left the farms as a boy, to work in the dark. Raff whistled as he played his flashlight across the machine. A moment later, his whistle echoed back, a bird in the far shadows mocking him.
"It's a thing of the gods," he wondered aloud.
Juliet didn't answer. She never took Raff as one to listen to the tales of priests. Still, there was no doubting the awe it inspired. She had seen Solo's books, and suspected that the same ancient peoples who had built this machine had built the crumbling but soaring towers beyond the hills. The fact that they had built the silo itself made her feel small. She reached out and ran her hand across metal that hadn't been touched nor glimpsed for centuries, and she marveled at what the ancients had been capable of. Maybe the priests weren't that far off, after all.
"Ye gods,"
Dawson grumbled, crowding noisily beside them.
"What are we to do with this?"
"Yeah, Jules," Raff whispered, respecting the deep shadows and the deeper time. "How are we supposed to dig this thing out of here?"
"We're not," she told them.
She scooted sideways between the wall of concrete and the tower of machinery. "This thing is meant to dig its own way out."
"You're assuming we can get it running,"
Dawson said.
Workers in the generator room crowded the hole and blocked the light spilling in. Juliet steered her flashlight around the narrow gap that stood between the outer silo wall and the tall machine, looking for some way around. She worked to one side, into the darkness, and scrambled up the gently sloping floor.
"We'll get it running," she assured Dawson. "We just gotta figure out how it's supposed to work."
"Careful,"
Raff warned as a rock kicked loose by her boots tumbled toward him. She was already higher up than their heads. The room, she saw, didn't have a corner or a far wall. It just curled up and all the way around.
"It's a big circle," she called out, her voice echoing between rock and metal. "I don't think this is the business end."
"There's a door over here,"
Dawson announced. Juliet slid down the slope to join him and Raff. Another flashlight clicked on from the gawkers in the generator room. Its beam joined hers in illuminating a door with pins for hinges. Dawson wrestled with a handle on the back of the machine. He grunted with effort, and then metal cried out as it reluctantly gave way to muscle. The machine yawned wide once they were through the door. Nothing prepared Juliet for this. Thinking back to the schematics she'd seen in Solo's underground hovel, she now realized that the diggers had been drawn to scale. The little worms jutting off the low floors of mechanical were a level high and twice that in length. Massive cylinders of steel. This one sat snug in a circular cave, almost as if it had buried itself. Juliet told her people to be careful as they made their way through the interior. A dozen workers joined her, their voices mingling and echoing in the maze-like guts of the machine, taboo dispelled by curiosity and wonder, the digging forgotten for now.
"This here's for moving the tailings," someone said.
Beams of light played on metal chutes of interlocking plates. There were wheels and gears beneath the plates, and more plates on the other side that overlapped like the scales on a snake. Juliet saw immediately how the entire chute moved, the plates hinging at the end and wrapping around to the beginning again. The rock and debris could ride on the top as it was pushed along. Low walls of inch-thick plate were meant to keep the rock from tumbling off. The rock chewed up by the digger would pass through here and out the back, where men would have to wrestle it with barrows.
"It's rusted all to hell," someone muttered.
"Not as bad as it should be," Juliet said. The machine had been there for hundreds of years, at least. She expected it to be a ball of rust and nothing more, but the steel was shiny in places. "I think the room was airtight," she wondered aloud, remembering a breeze on her neck and the sucking of dust as she pierced through the wall for the first time.
"This is all hydraulic," Bobby said.
There was disappointment in his voice, as though he were learning that the gods cleaned their asses with water, too. Juliet was more hopeful. She saw something that could be fixed, so long as the power source was intact. They could get this running. It was made to be simple, as if the gods knew that whoever discovered it would be less sophisticated, less capable. There were treads, just like on the excavator, but running the length of the mighty machine, axles caked in grease. More treads on the sides and ceiling that must push against the earth as well. What she didn't understand was how the digging commenced. Past the moving chutes and all the implements for pushing crushed rock and tailings at the back of the machine, they came to a wall of steel that slid up past the girders and walkways into the darkness above.
"That don't make a lick of sense," Raff said, reaching the far wall. "Look at these wheels. Which way does this thing run?"
"Those aren't wheels," Juliet said. She pointed with her light. "This whole front piece spins. Here's the pivot." She pointed to a central axle as big around as two men. "And those round discs there must protrude through to the other side and do the cutting."
Bobby blew out a disbelieving breath. "Through solid stone?"
Juliet tried to turn one of the discs. It barely moved. A barrel of grease would be needed.
"I think she's right," Raff said.
He had the lid raised on a box the size of a double bunk and aimed his flashlight inside.
"This here's a gearbox. Looks like a transmission."
Juliet joined him. Helical gears the size of a man's waist lay embedded in dried grease. The gears matched up with teeth that would spin the wall. The transmission box was large and stout as that of the main generator. Larger.
"Bad news," Bobby said. "Check where that shaft leads."
Three beams of light converged and followed the drive shaft back to where it ended in empty space. The interior cavern of that hulking machine, all that emptiness in which they stood, was a void where the heart of the beast should lie.
"She ain't going nowhere," Raff muttered.
Juliet marched back to the rear of the machine. Beefy struts built for holding a power plant sat bare. She and the other mechanics had been milling about where an engine should sit. And now that she knew what to look for, she spotted the mounts. There were six of them, threaded posts 8 inches across and caked in ancient, hardened grease. The matching nut for each post hung from hooks beneath the struts. The gods were communicating with her, talking to her. The ancients had left a message written in the language of people who knew machines. They were speaking to her across vast stretches of time, saying, "This goes here. Follow these steps."
Fitz, the oil man, knelt beside Juliet and rested a hand on her arm.
"I am sorry for your friends," he said,
meaning Solo and the kids. But Juliet thought he sounded happy for everyone else. Glancing at the rear of the metal cave, she saw more miners and mechanics peering inside, hesitant to join them. Everyone would be happy for this endeavor to end right there, for her to dig no further. But Juliet was feeling more than an urge. She was beginning to feel a purpose. This machine hadn't been hidden from them. It had been safely stowed, protected, packed away, slathered in grease and shielded from the air for a reason beyond her knowing.
"Do we seal it back up?"
Dawson asked. Even the grizzled old mechanic seemed eager to dig no further. "It's waiting for something," Juliet said. She pulled one of the large nuts off its hook and rested it on top of the grease-encased post. The size of the mount was familiar. She thought of the work she'd performed a lifetime ago of aligning the main generator. "She's meant to be opened," she said. "This belly of hers is meant to be opened. Check the back of the machine where we came through. It should come apart so the tailings can get out, but also to let something in. The motor isn't missing at all." Raff stayed by her side, the beam of his flashlight on her chest so he could study her face. "I know why they put this here," she told him, while the others left to survey the back of the machine. "I know why they put this next to the generator room."